Okay, I don't know how this works. I'll let you drive.
It doesn't.
It's bad. Yeah.
But hi.
Hey,
how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm looking at your Bill Murray rules
tattoo. He does. It's the only tattoo that my mother likes.
What?
She saw it and for a long time she was like, do those even mean anything to you? And if you know anything about me, no. Who cares? They've always been very spontaneous, if you will. But she saw this one and she goes, wait, is he the one that's in What About Bob? I go, yeah, Mom. And she says, I really like him. And that was it.
Leslie! Did you panic in late 2017? Like, what if something bad came out about Bill Murray?
Yeah.
Or were you really, like, confident?
I mean, 80-20 split. Yeah, 80% okay. Confident, 20% concerned.
But what if,
for sure, dude. One time, Dom and I were playing Would You Rather. Well, Dom was playing Would You Rather because I'm really bad at thinking of creative things for that game. And he's like, would you rather your favorite celebrity have something come to light in the Me Too movement or die? And my favorite celebrity is actually Hugh Jackman, despite my Bill Murray tattoo. I love him.
But he's such a delight.
He's so pure, and I will support anything he's involved in for the rest of my life, or the rest of his life, I guess. And without hesitation, I was like, oh yeah, 10 out of 10, I'd rather he die. I would rather Hugh Jackman be dead than be a sexual predator.
I think I would too, though.
Right?
Because so much of my worldview is built around the fact that Hugh Jackman is a good guy.
Yeah.
With, like, a wife and children.
And he's so, like, sweet about her. And he also recently posted on, like, an Instagram Live or whatever of him having a mental breakdown of, like... So he worked on this puzzle for a really long time, I guess. It was of Starry Night, the painting. And he finished it.
He did a puzzle. Hugh Jackman is like...
He's just an old man, you know? Just a middle-aged man. But he finished the puzzle, and then he recorded him, like, taking it apart and putting it away, and he, like, was freaking out because he had spent so long doing it, and he had, like, an actual breakdown about it.
On Instagram Live.
Yeah.
What a cutie.
I know.
Okay.
What a joy she is.
This is Everybody Hates Rand. We're on a bit of a hiatus right now. If you're listening to this, you've already finished season one, probably. We finished The Eye of the World. You haven't listened to that last episode yet.
No, I didn't. I haven't yet.
I just barely finished editing
it. I was driving today.
And Sally and I are currently 2,000 or 3,000 miles away, so I'm here with a guest co-host. This is, do you want your full name on or just?
I don't care.
This is Cambria Hobbs. She's my best friend from the fifth grade. She introduced me to Wheel of Time when I was 11, so.
I'm over here waving at the camera like an idiot.
Like, we do that all the time. Sally always like casts these meaningful looks at the laptop.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, they can't see you. And she's like, fuck you.
I don't care.
But
yeah, she introduced me. I'm Cambria Hobbs. I have been shouted out to
many
times throughout this journey.
Were it not for Cambria, neither of us would be involved with Wheel of Time. This podcast wouldn't exist. So
you have me to thank for this entire experience.
Yeah, direct your gratitude and your anger at her.
I mean, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty details, you can thank my older brother who made me read it.
That's true.
As a 10-year-old. He was like, you would really love this book. And I was like, would I know? And then I did, and now we all do.
I still remember you in 11th grade, when we were 11 in 5th grade, like, carrying around these massive Wheel of Time books with the ugliest covers known to man. And I was like, that looks so wild.
Mm-hmm.
So adult.
I know.
And I'm into it, and I really want to look like an adult.
I did all of my book reports in 5th and 6th grade
you
on
did?
Wheel of Time books. Oh, yeah.
That's so fun.
With Mrs. Thompson, for sure.
Mrs. Finette Thompson was a goddess.
Yeah, she changed our lives, for sure.
She also read us some very weird books.
I'm still convinced that she read us Turandot.
She could have. Who knows? She definitely read us The Hero and the Crown, which is still one of my favorite books of all time.
I had completely forgotten about it until you said that, and now I'm so excited.
It's so good.
Because, yes.
That dragon slaying scene is one of the best of all time. She also read us The Wolves of Willoughby Chase, which... is, like, about some orphan girls who get conned or something.
Yeah, this story is like a violent version of The Little Princess, kind mm-hmm. of.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's a lot more murder, it seems like.
It's like these girls that are orphaned, but also have family, but they don't know it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they go through these really traumatic experiences, and it's a metaphor for a lot of other things.
I can't remember anything about it. I do recall, what was the book we read at the very end of fifth grade? It was like just an old man, like cantankerous old man. Do you remember that at all? I remember it being very boring, and I remember that was how I learned the word curmudgeon.
Same, actually.
And that was it. But I just remember, like, the last day of school, she finished it. And I was like, well, that was worthless.
So my greatest skill, my best skill, I guess, is the discard of information that's no longer relevant to my life. And that's probably that, because it's blank. Nothing there.
That's fine. I don't know why I remember that.
But today we're not going to be talking about the books in sequential order. I thought it would be fun if we just sort of talked.
Yeah.
I'm like, my body language right now is like faced away from Emily because I feel shy.
Don't feel shy.
Like being very coy. Like, hello. Yeah, we should just talk about these books.
I'm bisexual, so I can't sit in a chair.
The dog didn't like that.
Yeah, well, homophobe.
Surprise.
Homophobe. There might be someone at the door.
Otis. Otis.
There's a person walking by. It's fine. It's a public sidewalk.
Why is he like this?
Mean homophobic dog.
Anyway, I thought to give us some direction, we could talk about two areas of your expertise. One, the Wheel of Time. Two, astrology. Oh, Cambria knows more about star signs than I could ever hope to know about anything, I think.
It's interesting. I'm obsessed with trying to put a name to my emotions and the way that people are. So astrology is a very good channel for that.
That's such a poetic way of
putting it. And it also ends up being fairly accurate most of the time, which I know that it's just because astrology is like just ambiguous descriptions of normal humanity, like normal human traits.
Like you can apply yourself really easily.
Yeah, like whatever. The way that things are phrased is like so you can kind of insert yourself into whatever they're describing. But either way, it's like a great channel for like...
And there's like patterns.
Knowing thyself. Yeah.
Like every time I read about like, I don't know, Aries, uh-huh. I'm always like, none of that applies to me.
Yeah, so exactly. Like
given none of the Libra stuff feels like it applies to me either. Because mm-hmm. they're usually... Stuff I read is usually on Tumblr, and it's like Libras are flirtatious, and I'm like, am I?
I mean, the other ones I know are, think Catherine and Taylor, the girl that I used to live with.
Yeah, yeah.
But it probably has more to do with like the rest of your chart. Also, for those of you listening who don't know very much about astrology, there's your like star sign, your sun sign, which is what everybody pretty much knows about themselves. But then there's also a sign based on the moon placement at the time of your birth, and then the ascendant sign, which is based on more, like, where you were born. So, like, what...
Like, constellation?
Yeah. Oh, geographically. Okay.
Geographically.
Yeah. Like, what star sign was, like, on the horizon at the time of your birth when you were born. Like, where
so
you were born.
Like, what they mean when they say, here's your sun sign and here's your moon mm-hmm. sign and whatever. Mm-hmm. So how would one go about finding that out?
There are a bunch of websites that are... You just plug in all of the info and then they give you your full chart because there's also... signs for like different all of the different planets as mm-hmm. well, like your Venus, which is like it rules your romantic leanings, I guess, like how you are as a romantic person.
Sure.
So my Venus is in Aries, and that means that like I'm kind of like very forward and not necessarily like selfish in how I approach my relationships, but definitely like self-serving, if that makes sense. Like my relationships are like I do it for me rather than like, for anything else. Like, I don't care about anything else about it. I'm also very fortunate. My partner has Venus in Aries as well, so we approach it the same way, and that works. Sometimes it doesn't if your Venus is in the same same sign. But, yeah, so there's a lot that goes into astrology aside from just your sun sign and, like, what's your horoscope today?
So it would be easier if we, like, could actually look up Wheel of Time characters.
Birthdays.
Charts and birthdays and stuff and then figure things out, but instead we just have to theorize.
Yeah, so we know for sure that Rin, Matt's and Perrin's birthdays are all close to each other, like they were all born around the same time,
which leaves us with a few options. We can assume that they were all born in the wintertime around the Christmas festival, or we could assume that they were born in the middle of the year, and that's just when their wintertime is.
Yeah, because the thing is, with the Wheel of Time calendar, is we have no really
idea
how it applies to our calendar.
Yeah, exactly. So we can make a few assumptions here. Originally,
is there a star sign that they can all three fit in?
No.
Oh.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Mostly because Matt is so different than the other two.
Right.
So, so a while ago, I had several male Cancers in my life, and they were all very, like, so the sign of the Cancer is the crab, like, that's the animal representation of it. So think, like, very hard shell, but very soft underneath.
Right.
And they also are, like, they're incapable of, like, confronting things head on. Like, crabs move side to side, and sometimes backwards. Like, that's how they get places.
Okay.
So.
Like that scene in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Cuttlefish.
Okay. Cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish.
Remember the cuttlefish.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the Cancer. They're also, like, extremely tied to their families, like, emotionally. But generally speaking, like, their defining trait is that they approach anything like the crab. Like, not necessarily
from the side.
And that they're also very guarded, but underneath it, they are a soft, squishy mess.
Okay.
So when I had all these male Cancers in my life, I think I was talking to you about Wheel of Time, but I was talking to somebody about it. I was like, dude, Brand is definitely a Cancer.
You've said that to me before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking more about it. And there's a sign that's similar to a Cancer. It's also the same type of sign. It's a Scorpio. And both Cancers and Scorpios are water signs. And the Scorpio also has, like, the exoskeleton, but they don't have the soft underbelly. You have to. It's, like, a lot harder to get through the exoskeleton.
Makes more ramp sense.
Yes. And for context, Kate is a Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
So, like, she's always going to, like, be like, I'm tough, whatever. But, like, she's very, very, like, emotionally present inside of all of that.
Yeah.
And that's a very defining trait of a Scorpio. Like, they're never really going to let on anything that's going on inside of them until you get past all of the crusty, hard exoskeleton.
Okay.
The other thing about the Scorpio is that kind of they get a lot of shit in astrology because they're, like, the worst to date because they're super, like, sexy and, like, alluring and nobody really even knows why. Like,
that sounds exactly like every description of women.
Yeah. Like,
I'm attracted to him, but I don't know why.
Yes, exactly. And, like, they're, like, the Scorpios that I've been, like, attracted to, that's very much it. Like, I don't know why I can't stay away from this person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they are so secretive. They are very, like, they'll give you, like, glimpses or, like,
mystery
hints of, like, who they are, but they never really let you see it. They never really, like, give you the full picture of what's going on underneath all of whatever it is they're portraying as themselves. And then people around Scorpios, especially romantically or in relationships, end up getting kind of, like, hurt by that, which is, like, the scorpion tail. Like,
okay,
like, you should expect it because you know what a scorpion is.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when you get stung by the scorpion tail, it's still kind of like,
surprising.
What?
It's in my nature.
Exactly. So, Rand for sure has to be a water sign because he feels so many things.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And the Scorpio is a lot more, like, stubborn than the Cancer. Cancers are a lot more, like, wishy-washy, which is why they're such messes on the inside. And Rand, when he decides that he's away, that's kind of how he is for, like, the rest of forever. Until he decides that he's a different way.
Until he reaches enlightenment, basically.
Yeah. Sidebar. I cried the first time I read that for some reason, just because of, like, do you think that Brandon wrote that, or do you think that Robert Jordan wrote that?
It's hard to say because I'm still in the middle of rereading that book.
Yeah.
And I haven't...
I'd like to think that
I'm
Robert
taking it
wrote
chapter
it.
By a time, mm-hmm. but...
I'd like to think that Robert wrote it just... because I like to think that's one of the things that he did right before he started everything else. But even if Brandon wrote it, he did a really good job at just, like...
To me, it felt like a Brandon thing.
Capturing the emotion of that release and, like, that I understand now.
To me, I associate Brandon with, maybe I shouldn't because, of course, Wheel of Time is so cosmic and so theological and everything. But, like, I associate Brandon with those, like, epiphany moments.
Yeah, he's really good
because
at
every single
those.
One of his protagonists, like, has one
has
at some
those.
Point.
Yeah,
so I guess it felt like something like, oh, this could be Kaladin,
mm-hmm.
or this could be Van or whoever
mm-hmm.
else in any of his books.
And I think that Robert was a lot more, like, subtextual with a lot of the theology, and Brandon's very, like, in your face about it. He doesn't try to hide that, like, he's alluding to some sort of, like, higher power.
Yeah, I have a harder time distinguishing between Brandon and Robert when Rand's the point of view speaker. The only time it's like incredibly easy is with Matt. Because Brandon fucked up Matt so badly.
So badly. So with that in mind about like Scorpios having a hard shell and...
Which Rand's entire mantra for what, nine?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like... So, like, when I've been teasing this in my head, it's like, he's a Taurus because he's so stubborn. I was like, no. Like, he feels way too many things, and he's too turbulent for that, like, inside. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so Cancer or Scorpio. And then I say Scorpio because of where Matt fits into this.
Okay, tell me. Matt would have to be either before or after.
Yeah, and I think Matt came first.
Okay.
Because I think, no, just kidding. Matt came after. Sorry, I always forget, like, what order the signs later in the year come in because they're... Further away from my sign, Pisces. Very self-interested, like my Venus says. So my theory is that either Rand and Perrin or Scorpio, or both Scorpios, and Rand is just like an earlier one. So if you're earlier in the sign, you're more that sign.
Oh.
And then like there's
if
like
you're later than
Scorpio 1, Scorpio 2, Scorpio 3. And the one, like the first placement are always like the most true to like the flaws of that. Sign. So I was thinking,
so like where do I fall in Libra?
You're right at the beginning.
It's not a Libra so, one.
Yeah, very like even keel like kind of thing.
Got it.
Very like what's fair, what's right, what's just like trying to find balance and everything, which that's why your sign is the scales. Anyway, so
I could be the Avatar.
You could be the Avatar for sure. So I'll come back to Perrin just because his personality is while I like it a lot. I don't think it's as interesting. And so I think his placement is a lot less, like, significant.
A lot of what happens with Perrin, I've found, is that I find it more interesting when he's just being with other people.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Perrin in his own head isn't interesting as Rand.
Which is when...
He's only bearable when he's just in his own head, mm-hmm. not interacting with anyone.
Exactly. So I think that Matt, for sure, is not a Scorpio. Because he's too, like, fleeting.
Yeah. That's like...
You know, like... Water signs are very, like, I mean, wishy-washy, you know, like, water signs. And more or less, like, a product of their environment and, like, the things that happen to them, water takes the shape of the container that it's in.
Yeah, which and, really defines Rand mm-hmm. and Perrin, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly. And Matt is very not that way.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay, this crazy thing is happening to me, but...
Everyone is constantly saying, no matter what else... happens, Matt stays the same.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say that Matt is closest, if we're staying like at the end of the year where the Scorpio is and that their birthdays are close together, that he's a Sagittarius. And I admittedly like don't know very much about this, again, because it's far removed from, I don't know any, I don't think, and so it's like I don't know very much about it, but the animal or like the sign is the archer or the centaur. So I mean, Matt is always mentioned as, like, a really good archer, so, like, that just fits the box.
God bless Robert Jordan for making Matt seem like he'd be the Susan Pevensey of the series early on. He was like, look at this Legolas-ass guy, just with his bow and arrow. And then book three, Matt came along and was like, change the game, motherfuckers. Here I am with my quarterstaff.
Yeah.
Pole vaulting everywhere.
Okay, so I'm going to read you the first paragraph of one of my favorite websites that describes astrology really well. Okay, so the centaur is a symbol for Sagittarius. In mythology, the centaur was half man and half horse and given to pursuing pleasure above all else. The centaur is shown with a bow which he shoots, and wherever the arrow lands, the centaur follows, he picks it up, and he shoots it again. It could be a metaphor for a lot of things. Those born under this sign will love traveling, discovering new things, meeting new people, and learning new things.
That sounds a lot like Matt.
Exactly. The next sentence says, Sagittarius crave... the freedom of the open road, both metaphorically and physically.
Yeah.
And that's definitely... Oh, and then this next one. I haven't read this for a while. They are most unhappy when they are tied to a normal routine or something stable and can become restless in situations where there is not enough variety. So, for sure...
Matt
is a Sagittarius. 10 out of 10. If anyone else's placements could be kind of like, maybe...
Matt's definitely...
Matt is a Sag. And that's why I was like, okay, Rand's probably a Scorpio then. Because...
Makes sense.
Yeah. Highly intelligent, love to be around intelligent people. Creativity is the core of who they are. They're often creating and recreating their living situations, work, human relationships, blah, 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 blah. Confining a Sagittarian and not allowing for ample space to roam will make this sign rude and uncooperative.
So if that doesn't describe our dear boy Matt, I don't know what does.
I still remember the end of book three, which ends on such a lovely note where literally the crowds are, like, cheering for Rand and all the girls are like, Matt, you have to stay and help us figure this out. And Matt's like, oh, yeah, of course. And in his head, he's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, stay?
What?
Moi?
Mm-hmm. Me no less. Stay in one place?
Yeah.
This boy?
This person? The closest I've ever been to a Sagittarian sign is that Dominic's rising sign is a Sagittarius.
Oh, okay.
And I guess I could explain that a little bit better. So your sun sign is like who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that's why horoscopes are based on that. That's why people are like, oh, I'm such a Pisces. Well, that's why I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a Pisces. Because I am the Piscesest of all Pisces. I wear my heart on my sleeve.
The Pisces.
And then your moon sign. Libra, yes.
The Sagittarius. Sagittarius of all Sagittarii. Is that the plurals, do you think?
I don't know. Sagittarii.
Sagittarii.
So funny. Just the Sagiest of all Sages.
Okay.
Cool. That works. I like that. But your moon sign is like how you navigate through your life as an emotional being.
Okay.
I'm a moon Gemini. If you know anything about Geminis, and I don't know if we'll get into that because I can't remember if I think that anyone is a Gemini.
Gawain.
Yes. 100%. Whoa.
My train of thought there was, I know Geminis are annoying. Who's the most annoying character?
Well,
in
like,
time?
And they like can't. So Geminis are the twins. They're like, they oftentimes are considered to have like two personalities.
Oh, that's
like
totally
two
Gawain.
Completely different people. Like they have. So one of my best friends is a Gemini, and they are so that, and it alternates between, like, who they actually, like, want to be and who they've been. Like, that's their two distinctive, because they were raised religiously. It's, like, very, very stark, the difference between the two, because they are so conflicting. So it's not always that dramatic. It's not always, like, I was raised, you know, Christian, and I don't believe in any sort of higher power or the Bible at all. Like, as the two alternating facets, sometimes it's just, like, one part of who they are is, like, very, like, outgoing and, like, creative and, like, collaborative, and then the other part of them is, like, pretty withdrawn.
Gawain always feels like he's being pulled in separate directions
by
his conflicting identities.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And so I'm a moon in Gemini, so that's how I exist as an emotional being. It's very fun.
Okay.
I have mood swings, and Dom loves it.
He's delighted.
It's his favorite thing about me, how moody I am. It's very nice.
Everyone loves that in a partner.
Especially with his Taurus placement. He's like, why do your moods change out of nowhere? I am just always the same way. And then there's a rising sign, which is kind of the face that you put on to people, like how people perceive you. So it's not necessarily anything you do intentionally, but it's kind of like the impression that people have of you.
Mm-hmm.
My rising sign is a Virgo, which Virgos are very like put together, very like methodical, very like plan, detail oriented, which is my saving grace because my Pisces sun and my Gemini moon are a recipe for emotional disaster. But I have my Virgo rising, which is an earth sign, in the middle of all of that. And so I actually end up being pretty successful in a lot of things that I do. Thank heavens. But Dom's rising sign is a Sagittarius, so he seems like really flighty and like never wants to be in one place. But it conflicts a lot with his Taurus placement, because Tauruses are very like, they want to, they're like homesteaders. Like they want to have a place to live, and they want to have a family, and like things that they're emotionally, like, tied to. Something stable, something steady, and Sagittariuses are very opposite of that. And I don't remember where we were going with that. But that's Sagittarius, and for sure that's Matt.
I've just been looking up my natal chart.
Yay! CafeAstrology.com.
That's where I'm
unsponsored
at.
Plug is the best one.
Okay, that was the first one that popped up.
Good.
Okay, the following table shows the position of the planets in your chart by sign and degree. On the right, you will find the sign of your ascendant, so is that your rising sign, and the signs on the cusp of each house in your natal chart. The Roman numerals refer to the house. Oh, this is too complicated.
Don't read any of that. Just, like, look and see what the signs are.
Zodiac. Just explain it.
Okay. Okay, so you're a Libra sun. Pisces moon! Aw!
Oh,
have fun!
Thanks.
And then you are also a Sagittarius rising.
Which also makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Miss move across the country after you graduate from college.
Well, I didn't like it here.
Okay, so this sounds a little bit more like you. Libra natives are generally thought to be sociable and somewhat intellectual souls. Somewhat. I'm just, guys, Emily Justo is the smartest person I know.
Somewhat stupid.
Actually, I was just taking a jab. They have an almost innocent way about them that makes them very approachable. Generally quite eager to cooperate, Librans spend a lot of their time trying not to rock the boat.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Again, the very,
the last
like...
thing I want
is... Yeah, very, like, middle groundy, like, very, like, I don't really, like, how can I maintain the peace without, well, again, basically, bottom line, how can I maintain the peace?
Mm-hmm.
Peace at any price. That's actually a sentence that's exclamation pointed in this paragraph.
Ooh.
Peace at any price. In this way, they seem harmless, but what can result is quite a ruckus. Also exclamation point. People involved with Libras may crib about their lack of directness and apparent inability to take a stand. And this is more true, I think, for other Libras that I know.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I'm very direct.
Yeah, and I think that comes more from other parts of your chart. This is all a matter of opinion, however. My mom is also a Libra, and her birthday is very close to yours, and she's similar. Like, once she's, like, decided how something is, she has a... It's really hard for her to change her mind. Librans are experts at avoiding being the one to blame. When confronted, they'll calmly and reasonably say, "What, me? No, I just want peace." Who, me? Whoops.
Me? Me, no less. Do a bad thing? I would never...
These people are always looking for the best or the right way to live. Harmony is the ultimate goal, but their idealism and high expectations can mean plenty of discontent.
So is it fair to say Edwene is probably a Libra?
That's what I put, okay, with exclamation points on my list.
She's very... Peace at any price, Edwene. I will bring the White Tower together.
Yeah.
By my fingernails or I will die trying.
Yeah, like, she knows what's right and she's... Doesn't try, I mean, she does a lot of, like, really drastic, aggressive, takes a lot of really drastic, aggressive actions, but they're, like, it's still the path of least resistance, kind
yeah.
of.
And Edwene's also, like, noted for being one of the most balanced characters, mm-hmm. like, especially in the Aes Sedai community, like, the book that I'm in, she's at a stage right now where every Aja is being like, you should be this Aja. And she's like, no, I'm not any Aja.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's
exactly.
not the Amarylline, whatever, but mm-hmm. it's supposed to be notable that she could fit well in any
of them.
Any
yeah.
path she chose.
So yeah, 10 out of 10, Edwene is a Libra.
Got
and
it.
She's also, like, very fair about things. Like, when, like, she and Rand, like, drift apart or whatever, like, there's never any hard feelings from her. She's
mm-hmm.
just very, like, oh, well, I guess this is, like, what it is, and I
yeah.
can't, like, be mad. We never had anything to begin with. So she's very, very that. She, like, and the way that she does things is so that, like, the least harm comes to either side as well, which I think is worth mentioning.
Even before she's the Amarylline, and that's, like,
yeah,
that's, you know,
huge. Like, she's
her political goal as well as.
Yeah.
We stand a legend.
We stand a legend, for sure.
Okay, so Edwene is a Libra.
For sure.
Matt's for sure a Sag.
For sure, dude.
By default, but also, you know, it fits. Rand's a Scorpio, and Perrin's a...
Perrin could be either a Scorpio or a Capricorn.
Okay.
Scorpio
Capricorn
because it's like he is like very alluring and even he doesn't know that.
Read Barrelane.
Yes. But like Scorpios do and they like don't necessarily use it to their advantage. Like Scorpios aren't always manipulative people because of that, but like they know that like people like being around them kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. And I feel like Rand has that. He gets like annoyed when like the girls don't want to be around him.
Yeah, sure.
So the Capricorn is the goat with the fish tail.
Makes no sense, but
it's
sure.
Fine. So the mountain goat is the symbol for this sign because of the characteristics of, that the goat climbs higher and higher without necessarily losing its footing. And that happens with Perrin. Like, he continues to, like, kind of climb, like, the whatever ladder it is that he's climbing.
A very strange ladder.
Yeah, he, it's a very
up.
Strange ladder
yeah.
to leadership, but he never really, like, fails.
Mm-hmm.
At anything?
No, yeah, one of the most notable things I think about Perrin and also Edwene is that they're not very often allowed to fail.
Yeah.
And it becomes a little bit, like, tough to read
mm-hmm.
at a certain point when Edwene's just, like, good at everything that she does.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is beginning to get a little unrealistic, however much I like reading her being hyper-competent.
Mm-hmm.
And Perrin does almost the same thing, except we're also seeing him being emotionally incompetent. Yeah. So that sort of eases the fact that he's yeah, politically an expert when he's 22.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, this kind of backs it up. They will work long and hard hours towards a purposeful goal. Self-disciplined and successful, it is no wonder that some of the world's greatest leaders have been Capricorn.
Hey. Perrin, Perrin, who's the only one who's technically earned his leadership position.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he came from, like he, it wasn't just kind of handed to him, or, like, yeah, accidentally stepped into it.
Matt wouldn't want to be a commanding officer.
Yeah. Capricorn people tend to guard their hearts closely and well. To get close, it may take some time, but once achieved, well worth it. I guess that dick is worth it.
Yeah, man.
I guess, right?
I don't know. Fail? What do you think?
I have a feeling that she's kind of freaky, so...
No, yeah, it feels very kinky. That's, like, canonical.
So if she's, like, if she's still about it, then...
Fail constantly is, like, I just want to do a striptease for you. And mm-hmm. Perrin's, like, cool. So I don't know what their bedroom activities are like.
A lot of weird shit.
So. Yeah, a lot of weird shit as compared to Rand with his very vanilla polyamory.
Dude, I don't want to talk about it. It's so boring.
Moving on.
It's so boring. Anyway, they tend to take life very seriously and are, like, annoyed and not, like, intolerant of those who don't.
Perrin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the more I read about this, the more I'm like, yeah, he's definitely a Cap. So, yes, Matt, Rand, and Perrin were born, like, closely together, but for this exercise, they were a few weeks apart.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's more realistic anyway.
Yeah, and in Wheel of Time, it's only ever, like, oh, they're born in the same season.
Yeah, and so. that could be winter time.
Sure. Right.
Christmas time, whatever that is.
Okay, what about Nynaeve?
I put Taurus in all caps.
I was gonna guess Taurus.
But I'm second guessing myself just because that's who I am as a person. What? I'm a floppy fish. What's so funny about that is, remember when we were in, like, fifth grade and there was, like, the fickle fish?
Yeah.
It's like this little, like, translucent red fish that you put on your palm, and depending on the way that it, like, curls up on your palm, it, like, tells how, like, what kind of person you are.
I remember that.
And if it curls up on both sides and, like, into a tight spiral, you're a fickle person. And it did that, like, instantly on my palm.
You were like,
it wasn't even like a couple seconds.
Did you get that at the store?
I don't know. Oh, our little store? Yeah, probably. I think we had those.
Our class was one of the advanced learning classes, which meant nothing. It meant that we were good at
two. Actually, they gave us a watered down version of IQ test.
Really?
Yeah. I have a friend who knows his IQ, and he, like, was describing the test to me, and I was like, oh, that makes sense, I guess.
So a bunch of kids with high IQs, but not necessarily socially or emotionally
intelligent
in any way. But we, not only did we have our classes, but we also had to run the little store out of the back of our classroom, right? You just, like,
fun.
It was fun.
And, like, budgeting and inventory.
Yeah, what jobs did you have to do? I always had to do accounting.
I tried very hard to be cool, so I think I don't ever volunteer to work at the store.
I don't remember volunteering.
Maybe I just manned the register or something, or, like, I was in charge of restocking things.
Something like that.
But I tried to not be in the store as often as possible. I liked to be at recess.
We all liked recess.
But yeah, it was real money, and the kids, there was, like, beef jerky and those dumb little cell phone calculators that everyone was obsessed with.
You just go buy a little knickknack or beef jerky. I don't know why everyone was obsessed with
everyone
beef jerky.
Everyone loved the peppered beef jerky that everyone loved. I hate beef jerky.
Okay. Well, okay, so Nynaeve might be a Taurus, but...
So...
Wait, is there anyone who is a Pisces, do you think?
I'm not sure. I want to say Avienda is.
Okay.
I hadn't decided on her yet. I've been thinking about it all weekend, and she's hard for me to place, probably because she's also written culturally different.
Yeah, she's written. She's very othered, which is a problem in the text, but...
I just rolled myself to death almost. Okay, so this is what... Okay, so, I mean, I know I'm dating one. So Taurians are obviously very hard-headed, stubborn, but inside of themselves, they're very, like, about being comfortable and about, like, how they look. They're very vain. They're very, like, they want nice things. They want not, like, necessarily a comfortable lifestyle, but Dom, like, moans audibly every time he lays in bed because he's so comfortable. Like, he just is, like, that excited about it. It's very strange. So this is why I'm second-guessing it, because, like, I went with Taurus because she's so hard-headed.
But she does like nice things.
She does also like nice things.
It takes her like a while to come to terms with the fact that she likes wearing stylish dresses.
Yeah, and she likes like flaunting her tits.
Yeah.
By book 8 or whatever.
Yeah.
And like she was very much about like the identity that like what having a braid meant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what that impression, anyway. They're earth signs, so they're very like, I wouldn't say that, well, Nynaeve is grounded. She's the one that's like, I'm going to, like, see these boys through to the end no matter what, you know, and while that's kind of, like, extremist, like, that's also something that an earth sign would do, like, kind of despite the cost, like, she's willing to do the thing that she knows is right.
Nynaeve, like, picks her ground and then it takes so much to move her from it.
Yeah, exactly. She's very rooted when she makes a decision. Yeah. Tara's people are not in a hurry and it can take them many years to decide what it is that they'd like to do.
Oh, well.
I think that's fair. I mean, can be just more, like, attributed to how stubborn she is as a person, that it takes her so long to come around to being an Aes Sedai, because she's a wisdom. And it takes her so long to
overcome her block.
Yeah, know? Like, she was a wisdom. Like, that's what she, like, that's what she pictured herself as growing up, and so she probably never had to, like, decide on that. It's probably...
Like, she's a go-getter in some ways. Like,
yeah.
She's like, Lan, that's my man. That's my man's, and is like, I'm gonna have him. But in other ways, yeah, it's just... takes her a really long time.
Yeah. The signs take a long time to fully commit to a relationship, but once they do, they're in it for the long haul. They typically marry for life and are dedicated companions, parents, and lovers. They almost always finish what they start. Okay. Deliberate thinkers, and when making decisions, usually make the right one. And I think, I haven't read a lot of Nynaeve recently. To be fair, I'm still only about 2/3 of the way through book 2 in my recent reread, which... the last time I read one of these was the year that the last one came out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been quite some time since I've read a lot of Nynaeve. But I feel like she doesn't... In her, like, emotional relationship, she's very, like, brash. And, like...
Yeah, Nynaeve's one of the most socially inept characters in the entire series. But rationally, she makes good decisions. Yeah,
she makes... I mean, you're always talking about on the podcast how competent she is when, you know, given a task to complete.
Yeah, when she has to channel against someone, she wins, basically.
And, like, when she's, like, setting Perrin and Edwin free from, like, the White Cloaks, you know, for this podcast, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
She makes the right call, you know, like, when she's under pressure, especially when it's not an emotional pressure, she makes the right decision really easily. I think that speaks to her Taurian placement. They need to be a leader. Oh. Nynaeve needs to be in charge. And she likes and need to be held in high esteem.
Also true. Really bugs Nynaeve when she's not given enough.
If they're respect. Not, they refuse to work.
Ah.
Often finding small ways to sabotage projects, relationships, or undermine authority.
I'm convinced.
Okay. I made the right call on that. So yeah, Nynaeve's a Taurus. Very vain, very set in her ways, very hard to change her mind, and also petty AF when she feels disrespected.
Nynaeve is so petty, it's so funny.
Dude, so is Dom, though. No shade. He won't listen to this, I promise. He doesn't care.
What about Elaine?
Elaine, I put that she was the Pisces. Because she's so moody. She doesn't ever, like, try to pretend that she's feeling something that she's not, which is why the Pisces are different from the other water signs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also very easily, like, influenced by people around her, I guess, but she, like, I mean, there's a reason that when we were younger, I was kind of, like, related to her.
Sure, yeah.
Even though she's an idiot.
No, she read less like an idiot when we were younger.
Yeah, exactly, like, it's only now that, you know, and also times have changed and things like that, but.
Well, now I'm older, and I read her as an older person, looking at a younger person.
Yeah, that's very fair.
It's, yeah, like, my entire... When I first read the series, of course, I was always with Rand and Matt and Perrin because they were supposed to be the closest to me in age and the girls. And then I think my second read through, I was like, Nynaeve's the lodestone here. And now this time around, I'm like, what are you idiots doing not listening to Moiraine?
Right?
Can you just fall in line?
Just like stop and listen for 2 seconds.
Listen to a grown up.
They're not wrong.
They're not wrong. Moiraine's been doing this. Your
lesbian mother knows.
Your lesbian mother knows best.
Your lesbian mother knows best. Anyway, Pisces, okay, so consider me. Again, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I never try to act like I'm feeling something that I'm not. But I'm also, like, extremely idealistic. And when I make up my mind to, like, do something, I
I guess I try to do it in, like, the most, kind of similar to a Libra, where you, like, try to make as few waves as possible.
Sure.
But I'm going to read this because I, again, self-interested, I relate. I understand things and how they relate to me specifically. Okay, so here's this. Pisces tend to be daydreamers, often dreaming of brilliant ideas and plans, some which they are often unable to facilitate by themselves. I would say that Elaine wouldn't be in a lot of the situations, like, wouldn't be succeed in a lot of the things that she does without help.
I feel like, and Elaine also doesn't like to really think about the fact that she requires a whole lot of support to get where she does. Like, she's willing to be grateful to people and acknowledge their place in her life, but she does also like to cast herself as the hero in every story.
Yeah, exactly. I really like this one. That's just because it's not how I see myself. They are extremely dedicated individuals, staying with companies for decades where others would probably have left already, and they're the same in their relationships as well. So they kind of almost like loyal to a fault.
Which is lame.
Once
she's committed to a person, she's committed
to
them.
She hates Galad, but, like, also he's her brother, you know, and so, like...
Yeah, and she loves Gaitwin, even when Gaitwin is an absolute idiot. It's like, well, he's my brother.
Clinical worrier. Because they often feel everything so intensely.
Rand.
They will worrying that they are not worried sometimes, and I do that. I for sure do that. Like, why don't I care about this thing? Okay, now I care about it, and it's just like, that's a very silly thing. And it also tends to lead to indecision, fearing that they'll make a decision that is either disagreeable or that they'll upset someone that's important to them. I feel like she's kind of that way. Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like, again, I haven't read very much of her recently, but I feel like a lot of what she does is, like, because she thinks it's what other people want her to do, to an extent.
She behaves in the way that she's been taught to behave.
Yeah.
And so she sort of refuses to imagine a life for herself where she's not fitting those expectations.
Yeah.
She very much, like, I don't know, plays up the whole Queen of Andor thing mm-hmm. when she's with certain characters who she feels like could easily see her in another capacity.
Yeah.
Like Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, hello, peasant. And he's mm-hmm. like,
doesn't she also, like, pretend that when she's pregnant that it's, like, this random guy's baby as well?
Yeah. It turns out to be such a bad decision.
Yeah.
The guy who she pretends to be the dad is also, like, a creepy dark friend.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, part of it was, like, for cultural expectations, but, like, that's very a Pisces thing to do, like, to just, like, pretend that something is different because you're afraid of how everyone else might react to it.
Yeah, sure.
But it usually ends up being undermined anyway because...
As it does.
Because, again, like I said, we wear our hearts on our sleeves.
I don't know how anyone could be like, yes.
Like, I don't...
Elaine, clearly pregnant by a random man, and then see her speak about Rand.
Yeah, or, like, see her with the guy.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been able to pretend that, like, I'm attracted to a person that I'm not attracted
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no.
You know? So, I mean, this is a little bit... She's less interesting of a character, so I feel like it's harder to place her, but I think she does fall into the Pisces. And, this is something I always forget about Pisces, but... The sign is actually two fish swimming in different directions. So they kind of grapple with, like, not necessarily conflicting identities, but, like, which path will this specific decision, like, send me down? You know, and I actually, like, I think about that kind of thing retrospectively a lot. Like, if I had done this instead, like, this is what my life would be like right now.
Right.
And I think maybe she feels kind of that way, like, I don't know. Again, I haven't read Elaine in a long time. But I think she, even if it's not in text, she's that way.
Yeah.
You know, do we get a lot of point of views from her? I don't remember.
We do, especially, like, once she, it's weird. She and Nynaeve even out around book 4, where they're kind of on their own, you know? So they switch off a lot in points of view.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she's our main point of view character for the whole Siege of Andor thing that takes
place
in the last few books. Which can be really annoying, especially because, like, Avienda's right there. And Avienda is, for most of it, and Avienda's, like, an equally good point of view character.
I always really enjoyed reading hers. But yeah, I think Elaine fits in the Pisces, but she's probably, like, a Pisces 3.
Got it. Now I know what that means.
Pisces 3. More of an Aries and less of a Pisces. Kind of a cuspy thing, because she can be kind of, like, fiery. Aries is a fire sign, and they also feel a lot of things, and it kind of, like, their emotions can be overwhelming for them. That's kind of an Aries thing. They're, like, all of the emotions of the Pisces, but they're
even less capable of dealing with them.
Don't you think it's wild that Wheel of Time never acknowledges birthdays?
Yes.
I mean, I can understand how Robert Jordan was trying to avoid, like timelining this too heavily.
Yeah.
Like, it feels a lot of the time like he doesn't want you to remember that these are 21-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Or in that Edwin's, what, 18?
Yeah.
It just becomes weird at some point when you start thinking about birthdays that not one of the single points of view includes mm-hmm. a character being like, oh, it's my birthday today. Mm-hmm. Or, it's my birthday this week. You think Matt would be like...
Especially Matt would be like, oh.
Matt would be like, oh, I'm 22.
I
want to
be home for my birthday. Like, I wish I was, you know, back home.
Matt. I'm so at peace now knowing that Matt is a Sagittarius.
I'm glad I could be the vessel for that for you. Vessel of that for you.
Well, thank you for educating me.
Yeah, no problem. I can talk about this for the rest of my life.
I feel like I have a better understanding of these characters, and I'm really, really curious now about whether Robert Jordan was into astrology.
I feel
some
like...
some of those are very on the nose.
I feel like... Well, that's the thing, is they are. And, like, that's kind of how it is in the real world, too. Like, some people's yeah. star signs, it's like, oh my god,
you
that's
are
who
that.
You are. But, I mean, considering all of the other, like... mythical, magical, theological things he references as well. I can only imagine that there's
he must have had surface at least understanding.
I mean, and at the very least, like looking up the descriptions of the star sign personalities is like a really easy way to like develop a personality.
Yeah, that's true.
For like a character, like I want my character to be this set of personality traits.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, and it's easy to have, like, Matt and Randon parent in these specific archetypal roles, and then if mm-hmm. you're like, oh, but I also want to give them personalities that mm-hmm. aren't necessarily dependent on their archetypes,
mm-hmm.
here's their star sign, and I'll give them three star signs that are next to each other.
Oh, Matt, our resident Sag.
Matt is such a good...
This is a good one. And I wanted Rand to be a Cancer, but... Cancers aren't necessarily sexy, and for some reason, Rand is.
We'll never understand Rand's sex appeal.
And, like, people can't stay away from him, and I don't fucking get it.
People are, like, constantly in text, they're, like, telling me Rand is sexy, and I'm like, show, don't tell.
Show, don't tell.
Tell me how he's
I don't,
sexy.
I don't want any of these vanilla love scenes, Robert Jordan.
Blah.
Blah.
Give me a kinky sex scene.
And not just a lap dance.
Yeah. Who gives him a
Well, no one gives Rand a lap dance. Just Fail gives parent lap
dance. Fail is like nonstop lap dance, striptease, whatever.
Yeah, claim your sexuality, girl.
I know, Fail's like, get it.
Love that.
Get it, girl.
Emily just dabbed.
So we began season one, and so we end season
one. And so it ends.
A dab. Still out of style. Okay, well.
Incredible. I hope this wasn't terribly boring listening to me drone on.
I don't know how it could be any more boring than listening to me and Sally drone on.
You guys know far more about, like, literature.
But you know more about astrology than anything that's ever happened. You're an expert in your field.
An expert in my field, you guys.
Keep it going.
I should read tarot cards for a living.
You should get into it.
It's fun. Let's
get a deck.
Yeah, I have one. Kate gave it to me for my birthday. It's a little mini one. She gave me a mini tarot card.
She's so cute and mystic things nowadays.
I know, I love it.
Okay, well, we should go get lunch.
Thanks for your time, friends. Waving again like an idiot.
Sally's not here to do a sign-off, but she loves you.
Yeah, she sure does.
She sure does.
She sure does. Hugs and kisses.
Bye, guys.